Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right then.
Why do we all start? No, don't start right then.
I don't. We always start with right then.
Don't start right then. Don't okay. start. Right then.
Hello and welcome to the Mum and Mama podcast.
Right then.
It's all a lot of peas, isn't it? Podcast. When I used to sing, were you all right, love? Jesus. I'm not about to edit that out.
I've got to
when I used to sing, I used to get have a pop shield because I'm very poppy and very essy. I've got a bit of a lisp.
Have you? Do you know what it is?
Yeah,
it's
I
not.
Have.
It's. Do you know what? You know it's not a lisp. You know it's the way that people in Basildon speak. Everybody in Basildon.
Oh, I love.
Yeah, look, what's Jonathan Woss?
Oh, I ain't got that kind of a lisp.
Yeah, but he's like.
I'm just a bit. Essie. Woss. Yeah, I'm not like that.
Jonathan Woss. I'm a bit. This is supposed to be our introduction, Amy.
This is an introduction to the podcast about us.
Christ.
Well, about us.
Not how we can, like, we've got lisps.
Not about how we got lisps, about who we were before we got kids. Now, I've got that DMX song in my head. Was that called Who We Be, or have I got the, am I remembering it wrong?
I don't know. I just got Ice Cube in my head. I don't know why.
Oh, I don't know.
Or LL Cool J, Round the Way Girl.
I used to love LL Cool J.
So do I. You're a bit like Round the Way Girl.
Is that mental person?
Just a bit loose.
I'm being painted. I've gotten a lot of people message me now who've got a very different impression of how I am.
Yeah, because all your secrets come out, Amy.
But they're not. You've made me
round
out
the
to
way,
be.
Girl.
You've told everyone my deepest, darkest. No, I'm not. Well, do you know what? I don't fucking care because
it doesn't
care. Matter, does it?
You don't care because
I can do whatever the fuck I want. I'm 42 years old.
You don't care because it was last week. You've earned your stripes.
I've earned my stripes.
Yeah, you bloody well have, love. No.
But so anyway, this is a podcast about us, and it's, I don't know what episode it is. Actually, what episode is it?
I don't know, but I've had half a bottle
it's
of wine.
It's episode 8.
I've had
episode
half a bottle
eight.
Of wine, Amy.
You've had half a bottle of wine?
I've had half a bottle
no
of wine.
No wonder you're so red.
And I've had a few, I put a few berries in there as well.
I know, I was wondering what was in your drink.
A few berries.
Looks like a fruit salad.
Well, I try to get my 5 a day.
Fatted. Anyway.
Yeah,
enjoy us.
Enjoy us.
Bye. Bye. Work.
There we go.
You can't hear me. You can hear me now.
You can hear me now.
Oh, it's nice seeing your face.
Isn't it just?
You can't really see mine because I'm in the dark.
And your fucking eyes are like pee holes.
I know. You get the better deal, didn't you? Because I get to see your beautiful face and then I'm really dark.
Big eyes, big bum.
Yes. Well, I've got a big bum but little eyes.
Yeah, you have got the smallest eyes I've ever seen.
I have got the smallest eyes. Anyway, I can't do the eyeshadow.
I'm not surprised.
You know when you put eyeshadow? I can obviously put eyeshadow on, but like when you do like the line and the flick.
You can't do that.
I can't really do it.
You've got, you know that droopy dog? Like you've got droopy boobs and droopy eyelids.
You know, Stu from the Hardcore Listing podcast. Yeah. That's what he looks like. Droopy dog.
That's what you look like.
Well, it's weird because I look like him when he was 20 now.
Oh, there we go.
It's without really weird. So now, and we both look like, yeah, he has got a beard.
And you've
now
got
he didn't
a beard
when
now.
He was 20.
Well, since well, lockdown, yeah. You've got a beard.
Oh, whatever.
Anyway.
Anyway.
How are you, Miss Amy Ballman?
I'm all right. I've been in a bad mood the last couple of days, but I feel all right today. Do you know what I have done is I had a day off. Well, I didn't have a day off exercising today because I ran, but I didn't do a class today. I think I've been doing too much and
it's
I think
you
it's making me tired and moody.
You did oversleep,
no,
didn't
I didn't.
You?
Juno fucking woke me up at 7 o'clock this morning. I didn't put my alarm on, but she still woke me up for a cuddle.
What were you doing?
Which
trawling
was nice.
The internet? Were you trawling the internet?
No, I was asleep. I kind of stirred and...
You're not swiping left and right?
No, I can't be bothered. I was talking to someone about that today because they just listened to the online dating thing and he was like asking how Hinge was.
Oh.
Not that he really can be bothered to try because he's not feeling it either. But I'm like, I like it because I haven't got to do anything. There's no effort.
I
just get a notification, so-and-so likes you, and I'm either like, oh.
And that's it.
Most of the time I'm like, nah.
Nah. No, Dave.
Especially at the
Steve.
Moment. It's like, what's the point?
Luigi. No, you're all right.
I get a lot of Italians.
I know you
weirdly.
Do. Oh, I forgot to say the Mr. Italian, didn't you? So, Amy. So, today's podcast. Is actually what? So is it like raving before kids, or just like what we did before kids?
Yeah, who we were before. Because
just,
the thing, like we
I was
even
just a raving
though,
mum.
Well, I used to rave. Yeah, we both did that because we've only known each other for a short time, haven't
yeah.
we? Really,
yeah, yeah,
considering
yeah.
how well we get on.
Yeah,
or I feel
weirdly.
Like I've known you for years. It was weird because when we did old Scrubby Pops' podcast the other week and he's like, oh, if you learnt anything new about each other, I was like, no, because I feel like I really know you. But then I thought, actually, of course I have because I don't fucking know you, do I really? We've only
Not
known
really.
Each other 18 months, but I feel like I've known you forever.
Yeah. And
weirdly.
I think you do those things where, you know, you get drunk and you just like, chat shit fucking hours. Only I chat shit, you listen, you retain all that information and then you let me know what I said the next day. So that's a little bit dangerous. So I've caught on
Good.
To that. And
Black
I'm not actually going down that road again. No, I will do. Because I've got a glass of wine in front of me now. Yay! But yeah, today we're just going to talk about who we were before children.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I can remember, Amy. Honestly.
Yeah.
It's a little
it's a
bit
long
of a
time
haze.
Ago.
Well, it was
yeah.
for you. You've had two kids, you dirty bastard.
Oh, no.
I've only had one.
It does. I think it's more like the headspace you get into. Which, you know, it is like the... You've got to look after someone. Everything changes. As soon as you get pregnant, that's it. And your body's just given up to someone else. And then from then on, it is hard to kind of remember who you were.
So anyway, Amy.
Yeah.
So were you, because obviously like, I think we're quite similar. I think we probably did pretty similar things when we were.
Yes.
In our heyday. Even not in our heyday, even in the days, you know, just before we had children. But were you like a drum and bass queen? Were you a jungle head? Were you a garage queen?
Garage girl.
Garage girl.
Garage girl.
Yeah. So what was your sort of, so tap, because you've got quite a good history in terms of what you did in your career, didn't you, when you first got going?
Tell us about that, yes. Amy.
Well, I wanted to be a singer. I was going to be a singer when I grew up. I went to university and I did drama and theatre studies.
Yeah.
And then, but it wasn't very good. I went through clearing because I was going to go off travelling for a year, but then I realised that I wasn't going to get my shit together and do that. So I was like, I went through clearing and just got a university place.
You did drama.
But it wasn't, I did drama, but it was more.
You did drama.
There was a lot, it was a lot of theory. It wasn't, I just wanted to act and make plays and that. We did a bit of that, but it was more, definitely more like theory.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it, but after I left, I thought, right, I want to go to drama school. So I started doing lessons to go to drama school, but then I was like, do you know what? I'm not made for this. I wasn't confident enough in myself. I knew
you're,
that I wasn't.
You're quite small
I didn't have
as
it
well,
in me.
I am quite small, as well. So, I mean, you know, 4 foot nothing. I thought they would have
I'm
enrolled.
5 foot four.
I thought they would have enrolled you to the circus school.
Rick.
No,
but I also wanted to
God, I'm funny.
Be a singer. You're not funny.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, right, okay, so I want to make records. I want to be a singer. Yeah. I thought I'm probably not going to be walking down the street one day and someone's going to stop me and be like, oh, do you sing? Do you want a record deal? So I thought, how am I going to get working as a singer? I need to work in music.
Okay, that was clever.
So,
even then,
yeah, I'm
like,
very
even
clever.
Them days.
I know.
Sometimes.
So we, at this point, I discovered Garage and I'd gone to Ayanapa with my good friend Nicole and my sister and another friend.
Sarah.
And yeah. So, because that was the place to be for Garage and R&B.
Ayanapa, yeah.
Ayanapa.
So
we went there and we had the pleasure of meeting DJ Spoonie, who was a Garage DJ.
So what year was this then?
This was 98.
Flipping heck. Okay.
So I was 19. Yeah, I was 19, 18, 19. I don't know. So anyway, so when we came back from Ayanapa, we went to watch DJ Spoonie in a charity football match between Kiss FM, because he was on Kiss FM at the time. And there I got talking to a DJ called Chris Phillips, who was on Kiss FM, because I used to listen to Kiss FM all the time.
Okay.
And I got talking to this DJ, Chris Phillips, and I was like, I really want to get into radio. And he was like, oh, you can come and sit in on the show one day, like do some work experience. So I was like, okay, wicked. So that basically, I went in, and from that, I ended up working there all weekend. Like I got on different shows then because I met different DJs while I was there.
Okay.
So I used to do the rap show with Matt White and I did the R&B show with Chris Phillips. And I was there for about 18 months and it was absolutely brilliant. I met Eminem and Jay-Z.
So what did you do? What were some of the things
I did?
You
the
did?
PRS. So at that time, because it was back in the dark ages, the songs used to be on tape or CD.
Yeah.
And we used to have to write down the songs that were played to send off to the PRS so the artists could get paid. So I used to basically just sit there and write down the songs that were played, what time they were played, how long they were played for.
Oh, wow.
It was very exciting. Yeah.
I bet it was.
So I did that for about 18 months. And then at that time, I finished university and I was temping. My mum used to work at Ford's Motor Company as a secretary.
What, Dagenham?
And she got in, no, in Basildon. Well, in Leyndon, actually.
Oh, I love my Babs. Come on, big up Babs.
So I used to do like over the summer holidays, I used to do like secretarial work there. So I just got a job there when I finished university because I was a bit like, I don't know what I want to do.
Mm.
And after about, and I started emailing people who I'd met through working at Kiss.
You're quite used to that, aren't you?
I am quite, yeah. And I got an email from a guy saying, oh, I think the Dream Team are looking for someone. So that was obviously Spoonie, who I knew. So I contacted him and I was like, oh, I want a job. And he's like, oh, we need a new booking agent. So I went and had a meeting with them and I got the job basically because I had a degree.
Is that it?
And they were really impressed.
Really?
That I had a degree, yeah. So I was 22. I'd never worked in that world before. And it was a bit of a baptism of fire because I was basically doing their booking. So I'd have promoters phone me up in who wanted to book them. And I then used to have to chase them for their payments. Mm. And people lie quite a lot when you're chasing them for money.
Yeah.
And I learned that very quickly because I just believed everyone. And
yeah, you're quite though, aren't you?
I am quite like that. So I did that and that was absolutely lovely. I did that for a couple of years and I met loads of people.
Is that when you sort of entered into the sort of garage girl? Because there's a bit of an image, isn't there, with garage? You know, all the sort of the nights and the clothes and the
Moschino and champagne.
Oh, my life.
I was an Essex garage girl. I wasn't a London garage girl.
That's even worse though, Amy. Fuck my life.
We were I never had the designer clothes and I never drank champagne either. I used to drink vodka cranberry.
Oh, bless you.
Yeah. That was I was not I wasn't that classy.
No. Neither were your mates and neither was your sister.
I met this girl and I was kind of saying, obviously, because about my music, and I was kind of doing some music with some garage producers.
Yeah.
And I met this girl who worked for EMI Publishing and she was like, oh, I'd also started working with this guitarist as well, writing stuff.
Mm.
And I can't remember how we'd become friends, but she's like, oh, I can send your songs into because she worked for the publishing company. She's like, I'll send you your songs. I'll listen to them. So off that, I ended up getting some studio time at EMI and recorded some demos. And then I got writing sessions with other writers. And I did that for a good couple of years. And that was amazing. I met some really amazing people and had some really good experiences.
Yeah.
And I ended up on an album with DJ Zinc. So that was the first time I was ever on a record. His album that he did.
Can we Google you?
Oh, yeah, you can buy my songs on... I think there's three songs of mine that you can buy.
Oh, go on, Ames. Go on, love.
This was fucking... I think he put it up the other day. It's 15 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
It was, and weirdly, he lived in Buckhurst Hill when I recorded the demos, which is close to where I live now. So it's weird because I'll drive past his old road, like where I recorded those... first demos all those years ago when I'm going to visit my mum and dad, and I'm always like, oh, that's where I did that. But I ended up working for him because he needed I'd left my job with the Dream Team and I was working at HMV, which is where I met Scroobius Pip.
Okay.
And I ended up doing like accounts for him and I ended up working with him. Then I met his partner who then got me into a management production deal with them. But then I also ended up working with her. She had a record label called Temper and she just started doing a dubstep night called Forward, which at the time, this is when dubstep was first just like starting. Yeah. And so I started working with her and she was like, oh, do you want to help me with the night? So I started doing the door. And basically that's kind of where the dubstep scene emerged. So...
And that's where Plastic People came in.
That was at Plastic People.
So that's a bit which is a bit weird because that's obviously some of my history is Plastic People. And that's quite, I find that really bizarre because we would have been in the same circle but not known each other, definitely, for sure.
At the same time, 100%, because Plastic People, it sadly is no longer there. It's a nightclub in Shoreditch. Well, it was a nightclub in Shoreditch. And it was weird, actually, because I was talking about this with the girls the other day, because we were listening to Giles Peterson on Six Music was playing, because they used to play like a lot of jazz on a Saturday night. It was like weird jazz music. Well, not weird, but...
Plinky plonky jazz.
It used to be...
Plinky-plonky.
Like African jazz, I think it was, but it used to be absolutely pitch black in there. It was a tiny room. The sound system was just the best sound system in the world. And I just used to, on a Saturday night, just be lost in there.
Wasn't in the little corner. Herbal.
Pitch wasn't black. I fucking loved it. Herbal, I did like herbal, but it was all a bit...
dark.
Well, that was the drum and bass, wasn't it?
So that was my scene.
And that wasn't really my thing, yeah.
That was my scene. Love my drum and bass.
So how did you get into
music.
The drums and bass?
So I guess so. From an early age, like my mum will tell you, she used to take us to Glastonbury, or she took us to Glastonbury, and I think she says she used to put me in a base bin to sleep as a baby. So that's where my first sort of realization.
So did you go every year?
I don't remember. No, my mum used to go to WOMAD, and she used to go to a lot of kind of folk and blues festivals. But
yeah,
my mum is like, she's a festival. She's from the 60s and she's very much into her festival life. Obviously, I'm from Wales. So a lot of my growing up years were, I remember, you know, I was part of this a sort of group of girls from Pembroke Dock called the Dock Girls, and it was like there's quite a few of us, I used to go out with a guy who lived in Cardigan, and once I connected with this guy, we'd be like traveling around Wales, like in this place called Martha's, which was like in Swansea. It was mental. And then we'd go to a local club called Checkers, and it was just do you remember a TV program called BPM?
No.
Do you remember them? So they used to travel around lots of clubs when we were younger, and I just remember being with all these people: Zach, Robin, Tito, all these amazing individuals, Cara, Liz, all of them, Bethan. And it was like You'd get in a car, so we'd have to travel like miles and miles and miles. You'd go to a club and you'd end up in a field, and you'd like have a fucking rave out in the middle of a field. You'd get home at like 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, and I just remember it just being mental. And my mum was quite, I was quite liberal. I used to invite people back. I was just like, it was just like, it was quite a lot, I think, for my mum growing up. So I've always been somebody that likes that scene. When I came to London and I went to drama school, and I was...
Have you always done drama?
Yeah. So I was, me and my brother were accepted to the National Youth Theatre when we were really young. And we did lots of amazing stuff. Ed Wilson was the artistic director at the time. So, yeah, so on, you know, West End stages, and did loads of stuff, went to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, amazing experience. But I kind of had to go through clearing. I remember my mum saying, "There is no way you are staying home." Like, she got on the phone. She was like, "Right, I've got to phone every fucking university." And I was like, "I don't want to go. I don't want to go." She's like, "You're going." I was like, "All right, well, if I go, I'll go to drama. You know, I'll go and do my acting." So I ended up getting into De Montfort, but it was the site in Bedford. Sorry, Paul Stafford. I know you're from Bedfordshire. Oh, God. Honestly, I remember like driving up and my mum dropped me with all my bags. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, I just wasn't, like, I was used to the countryside, but geez Louise, there just wasn't anything really going on. Did a bit of drama there. I did 2 years there. And then my best friend, Claria, at the time, she lived in Leicestershire. So I used to... I went then to live in a place called Ashby de la Zouche. And I know.
I know. Say that again.
Ashby.
That?
Ashby de la Zouche.
That sounds very exciting.
It was really for a point for a few years. I had my best friend who I met at Business Gas, who I worked with in Leicester. She lived just outside Ashby, but we would go raving all the time. So I kind of transferred my raving days from Wales into sort of sort of the Midlands, and then I then went back to London because I went to go into drama school.
Yeah.
But I picked a drama school that was in the middle of Shoreditch. Well, I didn't know about Shoreditch at the time. Like, I'm like, yeah. I was kind of unaware of what was going on. But I got myself into probably the best group of people that I will, and I, you know, I'll never forget these people. And I, you know, Herbal was the one place I remember just being constantly, or Gary's Place, which was another place that we used to frequent quite often. And yeah. Gary passed away, you know, quite recently, which is quite sad, yeah. actually. But I did see him last year. But yeah, I was sort of part of this Herbal crew. There was lots of
So Herbal
of us.
Was another nightclub in Shoreditch, which was actually just round the corner from Plastic People, which again yes. is sadly no yeah. longer with us.
No longer with us. But it was amazing. Like, you could go, you know, it was like, there's a... The manager of the bar was Sandra, and Sandra was fucking awesome. And there was Lisa. There was like so many people I could reel off, and it was just this incredible atmosphere. I can remember it was all drum and bass, it was yeah. all jungle, or it was, you know, it was pretty heavy stuff. But I fucking loved it, and I would be in there. Every fucking night, Amy. I would be in there every night. And the funny thing was, I'd have to go to drama school. And I'd come from drama school. So I had a friend called Sally and a number of other of us at the time. And I used to go to the nightclub, come from the nightclub to drama school, and then go back. Like, it was just mental. But, yeah, never used to wait in a line, you know, in a queue. Yeah. It was just like, I don't know, I just felt like a bit of a, I don't know. It's like, it's, when you go clubbing now, it's just not the same. It's not the same. So I've always been
like. Because everyone's 12 years old.
Yeah, no. And then obviously I met another friend, my really good pal, best mate, Tembi. And her friend is a DJ. So again, we just, like, whoever I seem to meet, never sit, we just don't. I just don't seem to stay in a queue for very long.
Yeah.
It's quite nice, really. But it's all very different yeah. music, you know, like it's weird. Music is, it's like massively part of my life. I yeah. love it. I love it. I'm not sure, like, I know I've been out with you a number of times, and I don't know if I'm quite the garage girl. I'm not sure if I'm garage girl material. I think I'm still probably that girl that likes to go into a field and
yeah,
and have that experience, because I remember that being one of the most amazing things in my life. And I yeah. know that my mum, if she ever listens to this, would be really proud of this moment, because I guess, like, I'm a hippie at heart. That's it. Like, I am. I'm not, you know, I might look all glam some of the time. Not really now, because I'm really grey, because we're on lockdown. But that's my, yeah, I would say that's the stuff I love. I love just being yeah. out, just doing whatever. Like,
yeah, it's my favourite thing is dancing. Yeah. No, I'm not a particularly good dancer.
you dance. Can I tell you something, Amy? Your mum, Babs, dances better than you. Sorry.
And most people do dance better than me.
What I find really amusing is that you post quite a lot of your memories on Facebook. So there was a memory from your 40th that I watched. I think it was a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, with me dancing with Steve.
And you fucking still,
Steve.
You literally got your T-Rex arms out, and you're going for it. Right now, I'm demonstrating. You've got your little arms out. You go from left to right. You're having
when
the
I
time
get excited, I do lift them up a bit, and then they go back down again.
Yeah, I can see that.
But I love it. I had so when I was telling the girls about, because when I was driving over to my mum's to give them some shopping, I always get the, what's your favourite thing in the world apart from us? Because I always say you two, but they're like, apart from us. I was like, do you know what, Lola? And I was saying about my time in Plastic People, because I loved it. I just loved the music. You just go off somewhere else.
Yeah.
Dancing. Yeah. I love it. And I still get, because that club shut, oh God, 4 or 5 years ago now. And it still actually makes me feel quite sad that I can't go back there and have that, because that was such a special place. And we did, I mean, I did Forward for 8 years. That was the dubstep night.
Yeah.
Dubstep and grime. And that was running for 8 years. And I left in the December and had Lola in the February. Like that was how close it was to having her. And then obviously when I had a baby, I couldn't go back and do it because I didn't want to go and work on a nightclub, you know, till whatever time in the morning. It was just like, it wasn't happening. And I suffered grief when I stopped doing that, because I used to see the same people. I mean, I'd knew these kids since it started. When it started, it was all dubstep was, it's changed a lot. It's very different now to how it was in the beginning, but it was literally just 14-year-old boys that used to get stoned in the club. It was, there was no, we never had girls. And then as it started getting a bit more popular, we used to get the odd one or two.
Yeah.
And then it got really popular and you used to get suits. And my mate Sarah used to go out down the line outside and she wouldn't let anyone with a suit in.
No, no.
She was like, no.
So I just remember being, I mean, I can't even remember what nights we were ever there, but I remember being there quite a lot. Probably my friend Lisa would tell me, or Sandra would tell me, probably a little bit more about, you know, they mightn't even know you, to be honest. But yeah, like I have the same feeling about her, but like it changed my life and it gave me like a support system that I don't think I'll ever forget. Like I'll never be, I'll never ever. Like, and I took, the funny thing is that I used to take all my friends in there. So whenever it was, if people used to come from Wales or people used to come from wherever, that's where I'd take them. And it wouldn't matter that it might not have been the scene or the music or that my, you know, that they liked. It was my local. It was local.
Because where did you live then? Did you live in Shoreditch?
I lived just around the corner in Shoreditch, not in the posh part. I lived in the estate. And,
I remember the first time I went, we went to a club called the Aquarium Club, which I think is still there.
With the pool.
Before Shoreditch got trendy. And I remember going there in a cab thinking, what the fuck are we doing here? Because it was so rough. And then literally, and when I started in working Brick Lane as well, with, that's where Zinc's office was, it was a shithole. And literally within 2 years, it had completely changed beyond all recognition. It's Jackie, crazy.
What was it? Jackie with Shoes?
Yeah.
Under the Bridge. All of them. Yeah. No, all of them.
And Dalston.
Dalston.
Like all these really impoverished areas.
Yeah.
And now Dalston. Just full of...
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I know. Yeah. Well, I then lived in Dalston and I had like, so I had like a really posh sort of apartment, but it was like a bit of a party apartment. Oh, fucking hell. It was just mental.
Really?
Oh, God. It was awful after
how many days could you go without sleeping?
God knows. God knows. Maybe my friend Davin will tell you. I don't know. My friend Mark. we were just... Do you know what it was? It was like that freedom that you felt because you You know, and I was working. I was working, doing drama school and going clubbing. And then several years later, sort of, you know, I finished the drama school and just did pure working. And that's how I got into my job, really, because I wanted to work in the community. I wanted to work in the community. but, yeah, I just wanted to maintain this really sort of manic lifestyle that would push boundaries constantly. And I have, you know, I have friends, arty friends, like my friend Bert, who's like for Bert Industries. I remember just meeting all these people who are still really, I'm really close to, Mark Rodenhurst, but they're all really arty people who had a lot of, they just have a lot of interests, a lot of gumption.
Yeah.
And I'd always like gravitated to all these people, but they always used to take you to other places, or they'd be DJs, or they'd be like, or they'd start somewhere and then they'd be DJs, like Dalston Supermarket. My friend Panos, you know, does Superstore. A night there. Superstore, is it? Whatever it is, I don't know. It's like a gay night, isn't it?
Yeah,
but that's in Dalston, and he's, you know, I honestly, it's like Bert. She does like DJing. All these people I meet—it's like it's quite crazy how it takes.
But
you
it was lovely that school. Whole thing, wasn't it? It was just you just keep meeting people and keep having new experiences, and it was a real like sense of community.
Yeah,
I guess.
And then you just remember the music. Like I can remember this lady who's actually on my Facebook still, Miss Pink. She was like a jungle drummer bass DJ, and she was like the first, it was like seeing the first woman DJ my style of music that I really liked.
Yeah.
And I had her CD for quite a long time, and it broke, and I was devastated.
Aww.
But she's still on my Facebook, and she was like saying a couple of weeks ago she's gonna, you know, do a mix and stuff. But like, I remember that. I remember Rat Pack.
Yeah.
Do you remember Rat Pack? I remember going to see them. You could go and see all your favorite DJs, and you could be so close to them.
Yeah.
Like, that was incredible. That was incredible.
Yeah, it must have been, so coming from Wales, I suppose, to London, like having, I suppose, the bigger name DJs that you might not have. Well, I suppose would have come down to Wales,
wouldn't
they?
Yeah, we had them. Yeah, we had we had Checkers, and we had a place called Night Owl in Tenby. And they had all the big DJs, but it was like a different experience. Like when you'd go to somewhere like Plastic People or Herbal, it was a more intimate kind of affair. Yeah. Plus, you know, you knew everybody on the bar, you know everybody on the door, you know everybody who managed it. So it was like a different experience, because you got to meet people, you know.
Yeah.
You got to meet the DJs. You got, like, now when we go out, it's like it's fucking sitting in a room with like 2,000-3,000 people. You're nobody. I don't know. It's like I don't like being a nobody. I'm a somebody.
See, I only go to my mates' nights.
Yeah.
I only go if I'm on the guest list. I don't queue.
Yeah, I don't
pay to get in.
I don't even queue. I don't even know what that means, queuing.
I remember when I first started going out raving, I used to go to Camden Palais.
Oh, yeah.
Clockwork Orange. Yeah. I remember going to that place and literally the queue being round the block, and you just stand outside for an hour, freezing cold, waiting to get into the club.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
I was like 16, 17.
Oh, God. I think, what was your earliest like memory of getting out? I think mine was about probably 13, 14. I literally skipped out, and my mum, like, didn't know where I was. I think I did that.
I have my sisters. My sisters are like 9 and 10 years older than me. And the first time I ever went to a nightclub was they took me to a nightclub on Wardour Street, because I was out with them. So I was 14. And they took me to this club. But obviously, where I was with them, I think they just kind of like smuggled me in.
Because you would have been short. You would have been small.
We're all fucking short. No, but funny story, talking to short people. So we went to this club. It was really good. I think it was a Kiss night. So it was all like R&B and hip hop. And then when we come out, we were waiting to cross the road and I was standing next to Kylie.
Oh, were you?
And I was like, fucking hell. Is this what it's like when you go out uptown?
She's
now she is small.
She's very small.
Yeah, out. She's tiny. Not so that was my first experience of a nightclub was when I was 14. But then we, and then obviously because I had my sister, I used to go out with her. So I never went out locally to like the Icon and all that shit because I didn't like the vibe of going out to those places because it always was just like everyone got pissed up and fought, didn't they? Like it was.
So that's how
I was about. I wanted to go out to music. I wanted to go and dance to music that I liked. I didn't want to go and dance to pop shit.
No. I remember like everybody talks about Faces.
Yeah, I've never been to Faces.
I went for my friend Sherry's birthday. I did go.
Maybe we could do that. Oh, we can't do that for your birthday, can we? Because we can't go out.
Amy, I'm 44 this year. That would be the last place I'd go. No, it's not. It was never. Like when you guys all talk about your experiences in London, like it's very different to how I experienced it, but now I think you kind of you do still support your people, you still you still support the people that are doing music. My friend Shiloh, she does her music, so when she does 51st Date, there's always myself and my friend, her friend, our friend Temby, we go out and we support. So I think But if I'm really honest, if I didn't know Shiloh, would I be in that place? Probably not. I'm well pride when I see her because she's fucking wicked DJ. But even having said all the sort of male female DJs, I do gravitate to the female. I think they're amazing, and they do kind of have to carve their own way, and it's a little bit. It's a little bit more tricky, isn't it, than your average DJ?
Well, I've worked in music for 20 years now, and I still couldn't probably name more than four female DJs. Like, I didn't, because I run, when I was working with the girl that ran Forward and the label Temper, we then started working with the guy who started Rinse FM. So I used to manage Rinse FM as well for a while. I think there was one or maybe two female DJs on the station out of fuck knows how many DJs. At Forward, we had, I think, one girl DJ that used to come and play. More came about as the music started to grow.
Yeah.
In Garage, there wasn't any female DJs. No. It was all men.
Yeah,
well, on the rate on Kiss, there wasn't any female. When the DJs I worked with were all men, I was the only girl in that situation.
Yeah,
completely for the year and a half that I worked there, I was the only female.
You're still friendly with them, aren't you? Like we went to Spoonies quite recently.
Yes, I'm still with them all.
Yeah, and that was a good night. And the really funny thing is, I also went to another night with you. And the person that you introduced me to is somebody that I work with, cousin. And I was like, it's like a really small, world.
Such a small world. Well, the fact that we met and we used to go to the same, we were in the same place at the same time and we didn't know each other.
Totally.
And then there's so many times in my life that I've just been like, oh my God. And like with Facebook.
I love Facebook.
Out, like, you've got all these friends. Like your mate Temby, we've got loads of friends in common.
Who are you in common with? That's what they're... I love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
I love it. But it does go to show how small, even though it does feel big, it's a small world. And especially in music, I think.
Yeah. Do you ever look at when somebody sends you like a Facebook request? I always go, let me see who I've got in common with.
Always.
Before I accept your friend request.
Yes. And I'm always a bit like,
maybe not. So what other stuff did you really do then before the kids, apart from sort of going raving and dancing and music?
Well, that was it. Music was my life. music. Because I was trying to make, like, I was always trying to make it as a artist. And that's how I met the girl's dad, through Pip, actually. I was at some, so he, weirdly, so I was making music when I met him.
Yeah.
And we became friends. And then he started making music and then, like, got fucking famous. And I was like, oh, right.
Oh, all right then.
Thanks, mate.
See ya. See ya.
So I was at a gig with him, of his gig, trying to get him to leave, weirdly, because it was some shit poetry gig that he really didn't need to be doing, because by this time he'd already kind of got a bit of a name for himself, and it was like an open mic thing. And it was really dry and it was full of really weird people. And I was like, come on, let's just go back to mine and watch a film. Like, this is shit. But then the promoter came over and kind of clocked him, and he was like, I can't go now. And then these two guys walked in, one of whom was my ex.
Right.
Who was in a band with this other guy who Pip had been working with, and they'd come to see him. So then, of course, we couldn't go. So then that's how I met my ex. And then we started making music together. And then he got involved. He started working at Plastic People as well, because then he used to come to Forward all the time. And that was just my life, really. And then I got to about 33. A couple of my cousins had had babies. And I was like, I want to have a baby. We'd been together a couple of years.
I want to have a baby.
And then that was it. And also,
say it again, one of the, Amy. Say it again.
Huh? I want say a baby.
I want to have a baby. I want to have a baby.
I'd had, like, the music stuff had gone well, like, I'd made a couple of records and that was all good, but it always just felt like something really exciting was going to happen, and then it never did. Like, we had interest here and there, but it just didn't happen. And then the final straw was my mate Scream, who was the one of the DJs, like, he was going to produce mine and Warren's album.
Yeah.
And he did this remix for this artist called LaRue. I don't know if you know her. And it fucking took off, and his career just went off. And then it was like, well, he's not going to be doing our thing now.
No.
Do you know what I mean? And I was like, do you know what? I can't do this anymore. Yeah. I think it had been 10 years at that point that I'd been trying. Yeah. And I was just like, it's not happening, and I can't be bothered. I just want to have a baby. So that's what I did.
But that's how I felt about my acting. Because I was, I've always loved acting. I've always been in quite a lot of stuff, and I've always done pretty cool stuff as well, not just, you know, I've done some Amdram as well, and love that. I love it, I just love being on stage, but it got to the point where I was like, I can't do this anymore, because it just doesn't bring you it's like kind of soul destroying at the same time, as you've got no money, you've got no way of making a living out of it, and you're constantly in the situation where you're scrutinized really quite heavily. Yep. Yep. And I've got a big mouth and I don't hold back. And I just was like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
Because I just will knock somebody out in a minute. Like, that's how
So what did you do? What did you have, like, an agent and stuff?
So, yeah, had an agent. I think when you come from... So... Where I came from, National Youth Theatre, you know, I remember being in...
That's amazing, by the way. Fucking National Youth Theatre, that's fucking amazing.
Yeah, and me and my brother were like the first brother and sister, but then I think there were others as well. There's lots of, like, and that's for another story. That's like another episode. but there was loads of, like, people. I was still really close with quite a few people that I went to National Youth Theatre with, but we did lots of West End shows, and that was my first experience. I did I was in the London Lewis Ballet Company as well, so I did ballet at the time. I did
with
ballet
your ass.
Can you believe it? I did ballet up till I was 21.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved ballet. And then I had a break, went to sort of university. And then when I came back to London to do drama school, the drama school that I went to was sort of, I guess, Shakespeare, classical acting, Stanislavski. It was very, you know, it's very true to form. And I loved that.
Yeah.
But I was naughty. That's just naughty. That's just naughty. And I was just like, I was trouble in a bag for like too many people. Like nobody could control me, basically.
Yeah.
So I had all these like wild ideas of being, you know, I don't know, like a famous actor.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've done loads of stuff. I've done lots of films, lots of theatre productions. I've done a music video. I did a music video for Katrina and the Waves. And I was a French maid doing some rollerblading. Lots of people have tried to Google it. Can't Google it.
I've tried, can't.
Gutted. But I've done, you know, and you'll see me. I've been in a lot of stuff and I will go back to it. And I think that where I see my son, he's like six and he's got, so I've never pushed the acting on him. I've never, like everybody says to me, oh, he could be a model and da da da. Oh, he could do some acting. Yeah, cool. And I have signed him up because our good friend Michaela gave me some really good details and they did sign him up. But I've never pushed him because I don't want to be that kind of a parent. But I've noticed he's got a similar personality to me. He's very, like, he's just very outlandish. He's got a lot of confidence. He can, you know, he could kind of pick up things where, like, I find it, like, quite weird to watch him. But I'll definitely do it again. I will continue to do my acting. And I think that's what the plan is really for next year, is to just try and get back into it. However it is, when I had Idris, I used to do like support, you know, just walk on parts and stuff. I loved it. Yeah. I loved it. I still, even though you're not acting and you're not, you know, the main part, I still love being on stage. I still love being on screen. That's my thing. Your thing is music. Yeah. My thing is acting. Part of your life you can't ever erase. I'd just like to say, Amy just yawned then.
Do you know what? It's 11 o'clock. It's 10 past 11 at night.
She yawned.
I am in bed by now normally.
She yawned.
She yawned. It's not you, it's me.
Right. I've heard that before.
Yeah, I thought you have. You should so do it again.
I'm going to do it again. I think it's just finding the right balance. And I'm definitely going to get my son into it. That's for sure. And I don't even need to push him. He just wants to do it anyway. But for me,
drama is so good for kids.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I loved it. I fucking loved my drama group when I was younger.
It is. And I think it's really important for confidence. Like, I am a confident person. I know that. Oh, yeah. You really? but I do think it helps you along the way. I think it helps does, you in 100%. a whole lot of things.
If you can do that, it.
Yeah. Do it.
Right. Yeah.
Do
definitely.
It. Do it.
See, Lola used to do it when she was younger, but she doesn't like being told what to do. And I've not pushed it on Juno. Well, I didn't push it on it, but I was like, why don't you try it? Juno's will do it, I think, when she's a bit older.
Mm.
But they're quite musical as well. They like doing music stuff. But I'm like, just do what you want to do. There are their dad's a really good artist. I'm just like, you know, you'll find what you want to do. I'm not going to push it on them because I just thought they'll do it when they want to do it. There's no point me, you know, trying to get them to do anything they don't want to do.
I think it's really wrong as well. I find it's a bit crude when you kind of live through your children and you make them do things that you wanted to do as a child. Like I played the trombone, but. Am I gonna really make my child play the trombone? I used to love playing the trombone, by the way. I'm gonna
get
it out.
Every time you say that, it just makes me laugh.
I fucking loved my trombone.
Just imagine the little Harry with a massive trombone.
I was never fucking little though, was I? I was like a string bean and I was tall. I was never fucking little. Ever. But I used to love my trombone. But do I think that I would do ever make Idris do it, I don't know if I would do. But I would like him to experience some of the things, the positive things that I experienced.
Yeah.
You know, National Youth Theatre was a part of my life that I'll never forget. And I'll never forget.
How did you get into it?
So me and my brother auditioned because there was our drama teacher, Chris. He basically said, I mean, my brother was an amazing actor and I was amazing. That wasn't really. I was okay. My brother was brilliant. He was amazing. And Chris said one day, I think you should go to London, you should go and audition. And we went and we got in, and I've still got a clipping of when we got in. It was a really special kind of moment because you used to go to these residentials every single year at Tufnell Park in North London. And Holloway Road was like their main headquarters. And a guy called Ed Wilson was the artistic director. He was fucking incredible. But then he used to then, like, if you'd audition the next year, you'd get into a play. So if you were really, I don't even know if it was really talented, if you were passionate, if you had something about you, he'd take you. It wasn't about anything, you know, like Rosamund Pike. There was like loads of people, Kate Winslet, There's loads of people that are, you know, really famous, and they were there. We just went to, we just did our course. It was amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. But yeah, the acting thing, I'll do it again, definitely.
Yeah, you should do.
I will do.
You fucking better.
I'll be an old lady by the time, like, they get the parts out. Look at the state of my hair.
You look all right, love.
Oh, my God, I look grey.
Haven't you got any Sharpies? Can't you colour it in?
Sharpies? I'd need a whole pack of Sharpies. Nicole's my hairdresser now.
Yeah.
Nicole has let me down.
Can't you get something? Can't you get a dye from the Tesco's or whatever?
Yeah, do you know what, right? I'm so lazy. I ordered it on Amazon.
Yeah.
I've ordered it with a couple of other things that I needed. Ordered it on Amazon. Comes tomorrow.
Oh, good. Well, that's all right.
That shit will be gone.
Oh, you have to FaceTime you when you do it.
Oh, God, no, I won't. Well, anyway, that was a little bit of a, of a jaunt down memory lane, wasn't it?
Background.
Yeah, there's loads more.
Background info.
Loads more.
We just got to find out how wild, much we can say.
Our wild sort of past. Well, not really.
I wasn't that wild. I just had a good time.
Yeah, we know you did.
Yeah. Oh, well, right. That was nice.
Nice to see you, Ames.
Yeah, nice to see you too.
And I'll see you soon. Bye. Yeah.
Bye.
Ending. Right then.
Right then.
Stop. Hey, right then.
Is that a Welsh thing? Right then.
Right then.
What does Thingy say in Gavin and Stacey? What's the thing that she... I never watched Gavin and Stacey.
I love Gavin and Stacey.
I never watched it, but I don't know why.
Right,
what did she
then
used to say? She used to say all right then.
All right then. I don't know, actually. I can't remember.
I don't know. Well, I don't know because I never watched it.
Thank God.
Anyway, that was us.
That was us. Can we edit that bit out?
What, the whole podcast?
Yeah. No, because I thought that was quite good, actually.
No. I thought it was quite good. Finding out a bit more about you.
Really? What, they're like squat parties.
Yeah.
And parties and fields.
I used to love a squat party.
Oh, I love a squat party. Love it. People, like, honestly.
Warehouse party.
I remember going to a squat party and Jefferson Hack and Kate Moss were there. No fucking joke.
Off their faces.
No comment.
She's a writing, isn't she? I'm not like, no, not that I would know.
Not that we would
only
know,
from
Amy.
What I've read on Pop Bitch. And that dazed, is not slander.
And dazed and confused. I remember, like, loved a squat party. Loved it. Loved yeah. it.
Loved a I
party.
Loved it.
Loved a party in a field.
I loved a party. That's the only thing I miss. I love my kids, but I do wish every so often I could just go out and have a night, proper night,
yeah,
and not have to worry about the next day.
Yeah, but they don't do them like they did them before. They don't.
I think they do, but I just, it's the music, isn't it? You've got to find one with the music you like, and it's changing.
No, see, for me, I don't think I'd be able to recreate the moments that we had. I just don't think we'd ever be able to do that. But
you can't
I do
go
like,
back, can you?
No, you can't go back. But I do love, like, I think, like, my favourite thing is every year when they do 51st Dating, like, my friend DJ Shiloh and Joel and Major Movements, they play it, I love it. Because it's like, I know yeah. them. And I get, and I yeah. get proud. I like, there's a sense of pride. And I go, fucking yeah. hell. You're in a festival, you're in a main headline festival, and you're playing. You are the bollocks. I love that, that moment. And then yeah. you go and get chips, and it's like £17.50, please. And you're like, fuck this shit, fuck I'm yeah. off.
Yep.
Yep. But no, love
hey
it.
Ho.
Hey ho.
But yeah, we hope you enjoyed that. If there's
yeah.
I actually did a little post about if there's any questions you'd like us to answer. Get in touch with us and ask us some questions if you want to talk to us. Or just talk to us. Subscribe. Mama Mama Pod.
Work.
And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.